Man, listen. I just listened to this last podcast and I just realized, man, that it's deeper than rap, man.
It's your boy, C. Will Holler.
It's deeper than rap. Not a podcast, it's a pod experience.
Man, I can't even call it a podcast no more, man. I gotta call it podcast, man. It was straight wow.
AKA professional conversation, AKA the hottest for the man.
Wait for it. Be Chris. Be money.
I'm about to give the people who are participating in our first time doing Two Kings in the Pod live an opportunity to chime in, send us any comments, questions, or concerns. You know, we do run a true democracy here. Every vote counts.
Yes.
We ain't gerrymandering or jerry-rigging the system.
Or jugging.
So, we talked about Steve Harvey. We talked about Jesse Smollett. You brought up Dame Dash. And you put up a post about Dame Dash a couple of days ago that I wanted to talk about.
But hold on. You asked a question. You asked a question about Smollett, and you said, where do we go from here?
Yes.
So I think that it's a quandary for the gay community. On one, we've never seen the gay community out one of their own, which is honestly a great asset they have. They never go against their own. They just don't talk about it. But they don't get up and publicly bash anybody in their community that's doing anything wrong. And then we also have the thing where does Jussie Smollett go from here?
Facts.
You know, if it's found out that he's lying, which he is lying, but if it's found out that he's lying and they have proof, which they do have proof, when everything, where does this go? Like, where's his career from here? Now I know with us, black folks, we're gonna forgive. So he goes,
facts.
We gonna forgive.
Facts.
I don't know about the rest of the world, because what messed him up was, and what messed this whole thing up was, bringing up, this is magma country.
MAGA.
Magma. I'm about my bad. Milk of magnesia. Now listen, this is MAGA country. I'm like, who wrote this script? You sound like a Madea. Like who wrote
it? Yes, that listen to it. It sounds like one of those bad. It looked like one of the bad wigs from one of the Madea movies. It was tough, man. But okay, so I'll give you my quick take on where do we go from here. Because I think we can talk about each one of the issues or subjects that we cover and give that rundown on where do we go from here. So I guess we can start with Jesse. Where do we go from here? I actually don't think his career is over. I don't.
No.
It'll be a while.
Yeah.
You know, black people, by and large, are the most forgiving people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think because we all know how it feels to be how it feels to be ostracized and to be targeted. And I'm pretty sure they're already cooking up a PR story. Why he did it.
They're going to say drugs. Broke up with his lovers. It's so many.
Begging for forgiveness.
You know, he good with us.
Yeah. So, I don't think his career is going to be in jeopardy. I think, and honestly, we live in such a hypersensitive, you know, kind of media cycle that we won't be talking about this next month.
No, we won't.
We won't be talking about this next month. And in a year's time, he'll be back in on movies. And I thought he was a fairly decent actor. I mean, I've seen him in a couple movies that I thought he did a decent job in. Again, I don't watch Empire, so I don't know that much about, you know, his body of work.
Yeah.
to really have an opinion on the person. I definitely don't know what it'd be hard for me because I'm usually a very open-minded person, but it's hard for me to get the understanding on what the purpose of this whole stunt was or is.
You know what it is. When we always follow that trail, it always leads to the money. So him doing this, to me, was a way to propel his career. And I think it strengthens his image as being the champion for gay people and being pro-black. So it'll catapult him into a level where he can be not only be a actor or be the first black superhero, but gay, but he can also be a catalyst for black people. He can be seen as both, so he can get to the money on both sides. So that to me is his motive. But to me, I never looked at Jussie Smollett like he was just a great human being. I mean, he's in Hollywood. So folks in Hollywood, you run the risk of them being soulless people. I mean, he's not unique, most of the folks in Hollywood would pull a stunt like this. I remember Kim Kardashian said they broke in there and took the sex tapes and took the ringworm $10 million. I said, what kind of story? I said, what kind? And they rode off on bicycles. I said, what kind of story is this? This is crazy. Like, these people in Hollywood literally cook up any story and think we just gonna eat it. But here's the crazy part. Most people eat
do.
It.
I was about to say, it's not like, because listen, people were taking up the cause for Jussie. They were really, you know, rallying around this guy. And when stuff like this comes out, you know, it's always tough to hear, because there are real victims of, like, some serious, you know, hate crimes that will always kind of get the side eye initially now because of what's going on. And I mean, all the facts haven't come out. You know, I'm gonna play my journalistic role here. All the facts haven't come out, so we don't know, you know, what's going on. Mika Joy want to know what you sipping on.
I got some of that. Yeah. No, I'm joking. I got water in my cup.
That's stupid.
I got water. I got water.
MD wanted to know. Now, I thought this was hilarious. What topping do you think he got on his sandwich?
Well, I know it kind of topped, and he wasn't on the top. He was on the bottom of the sandwich.
Dude, come on.
I'm joking. Hey, y'all, I'm joking. No, but here's the funny part about the story, though, Chris. So, you know, after he got attacked, he still had his sandwich.
He did?
He still had his, because he bought a tuna fish. So, he still had his sandwich. So, in the midst of all this, he got the rope, the sandwich, the oatmeal cookies. Yeah.
I'm speechless. How a sandwich ain't mashed up? Like, come on, man. Like, the more and more I'm hearing about this story, man, I'm like, it's tough.
What Bernie Mac say? Him downstairs. So you already know what this is.
I done dropped my sandwich over much less.
Facts.
Than being attacked. So I don't know, like, how you not... like, how you still get home... Shit, I guess if you're hungry.
He said he had a tuna fish and a salad. And so when the police showed up, they see the subway, they see the rope, they see the scar. And then he say, cut the body cameras off. For what? You know why? Because if I give a statement in front of the police, I can't have it recorded in case I might say something that contradicts my story. So cut them off. And y'all write down what I say.
How we still got that sandwich? Inquiring minds want to know.
There's a movie I once watched called The Longest Foot Long.
Get out of here, man. Oh. All right, man. Dame Dash. We got to talk about my boy Dame, bro. Dusko Poppington. I was all for... listen to me, Dad. You know I'm all about that entrepreneurial life.
Facts.
Have your own, build your own, be your own.
Yes.
I'm all about that. One thing that always struck me as strange with him, I'm like, when people are really out here living and building, you ain't really got no time and no energy to be angry.
Facts.
And that dude been angry for a long time.
Years. He been bitter and scorned.
Bitter and scorned. And then out of nowhere, after the Nick Cannon episode, we get an apology.
Mm-hmm.
I have no beef with anybody. Pause. I'm looking past it. So Jay-Z, if I've offended you, I apologize. Leo Cohen, if I offended you, I apologize. Steve Stout, if I've offended you, I apologize. Just because you don't have the same morals and principles, it's cool. I'm not angry no more. You know, I called Jim Jones today, and I was like, I miss him. I don't know y'all know it, but I miss him. As a brother, I love his family. I want him to be happy. And Jay, you know, the friendship we had was cool, man. I just miss it. But whatever he doing, but I'm cool with it, bro. I'm sorry, man. I wasn't myself for a second. Aaliyah had me fucked up. And Biggs, I'm sorry, bro, if I offended you. Whatever you doing, I'm with it. I love you, man. And I know you're mad at me, but whatever. I'm sorry. I can admit it. You know, when I make some money, I'll send you something. It's because you're my...
But I'm thinking, but where's all this boss talk? I done had good bosses. I done had bad bosses. Ain't none of them ever apologized to me.
Ever.
And it wasn't the fact that he apologized. It was how he apologized.
It was how he was apologizing.
And I know we in my household, they was like, don't say it if you don't mean it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was coerced. I don't know if it was forced. I don't know how to take that apology, man. But to me, it was a bad look.
Yeah, it was a bad look. He won't back in. That's all. He wants back in the fold.
Yeah, so that's what you think it is.
Yeah, he's apologizing to everybody because he wants back in. You know, and I get it because I don't care about what nobody says. When people talking about that money, he always talking about making boss moves and making money. Anytime somebody tell me how much money they making, they got, that means they don't have none. Because the folks that really got money don't want you to know.
They don't.
They hate talking about money.
They talk about everything.
Everything but that bread.
Listen, and you know the cold part about that? They'll pay for everything too.
And they'll pay.
But as soon as you start talking about that money,
mm-mm.
They don't pay.
Mm-mm.
They don't invite you around.
No.
Don't bring him over here.
So I know. Go ahead.
Me and you go to a party,
mm-hmm.
And I start talking about the money, they'll tell you don't bring me no more.
Don't bring him.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Fact.
So he wanted back in, but Hov said make another Hov. And I'm thinking, with social media and with this Build-A-Bear mentality that the music industry currently has, he could have built about two Hovs by now.
But could he though?
Well, he didn't build the first one. I know he couldn't. Yeah. But philosophically speaking, he could have built another Hov by now.
But remember, he signed Currency.
He did?
Yeah. He signed Currency. Not no
Currency.
More.
He had his own following.
So if that wasn't successful, I mean, you got Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear. Surely the fourth Build-A-Bear should have been easy. You had Jay-Z. He left you a blueprint. You didn't do that. You had somebody had a following. That didn't work. So I'm trying to...
Well, no. He had Jay-Z and he had Jim Jones.
And he had Dipset. Let's say that.
Well, facts.
Dipset.
Come on now. He had Dipset.
He had him.
Listen to me. His son Cookies must not be selling that much.
But let's be honest, Chris. Let's be honest. Be real. He said, I'm teaching my son to be a boss. He got his own cookie company. And the man pulled up a sandwich bag filled with cookies. It wasn't a box like Girl Scout. I mean, it wasn't a box like Girl Scout cookies. You didn't open it up and pull out a tray of cookies. It was a sandwich.
He had a Subway tray. Come on.
It was a sandwich bag of cookies. Not even a cookie bag. A sandwich bag of cookies. I said, man, if you don't get out of here, man, if you don't get out of my face with this foolishness.
When he, I'm just like, listen, I don't like when, I don't like when influential people fight. And I definitely don't like when black influential people fight.
Fact.
It's poor taste. It's poor taste. It solidifies a negative narrative and it promotes, you know, that those negative stereotypes that we are all trying to get away from.
Yes.
That don't really show the show the best side of like black people, because clearly most black people don't vibe like that.
No.
When he apologized, I was like, bro, like it hurt me to my core when that dude apologized. Like, I'm all for standing up and being a man, but I think it was more so how he apologized that just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Slumped down in the chair. All right, Leo Korn, I apologize. Jay-Z, I apologize.
Hey, y'all, and then y'all get at me. Y'all holler at me. I'm good. I'm happy, man. You won't back in.
It was like when I heard Game go chi-chi-chi-chi, I was like,
oh.
You remember that?
Ooh.
When Game did that, after all that,
ooh.
I was like, no.
After all that with 50 Cent,
man, listen to me. I was like, squash the beef. I'm all for that. Y'all can't make music no more. I'm all for that. We can agree. We can disagree. We can agree to disagree. Don't do that.
Not that.
Don't do that. It was tough.
But like I always say, man, these people are in the entertainment industry.
Facts.
These people are entertainers. So at the core of their existence, they are all acting. They are all putting on a show.
Facts.
It's a theatrical play gone bad. I remember somebody told me that most rappers are bad actors stuck in character. And that stuck with me. Because guess what? Most of these rappers are just caricatures of somebody they know.
Facts.
So a dude act like he's a kingpin, but he really not a kingpin. His boy might have sold some dope, but he gonna take on that whole persona and image and put it on himself. That's not really him.
Yeah. Clearly that's not him.
These dudes living normal lives. They talking about keys and bricks and guns and their kids go to private school. Man,
I was about to say I got wife and kids at the house.
Yeah, come on, man. You a Republican. Stop.
All right, man, let's talk about something positive. Did you catch that Killer Mike series on Netflix?
Yes, I did.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
Shout out to Killer Mike.
I enjoy Trigger Warning.
What did you enjoy about it?
I enjoy the fresh take on how to look at things. I think that, like, the episode about trying to find a black business and do a whole day or a whole couple of days with just living off, you know, black businesses, that was eye-opening because it let you know that it's tough. We don't, like, he couldn't get a car. We don't make cars.
We don't make cars.
We make bikes. He can ride a bike, but he's 400 pounds. He can't ride a bike to Savannah.
Well, he wouldn't be 400 pounds if he rode a bike to Savannah.
Okay, so, you know, but his show was thought-provoking, and I like when stuff makes us think.
Yeah.
And so I like Killer Mike because he's challenging this old narrative, these old ways of thinking, this old just, you know, like just voting Democratic. How about we vote when somebody's going to meet our demands?
Facts.
If we're going to vote, like that kind of stuff. Like, you know, he had a little porn video about using porn to teach a trade. Now, the porn got, you know, a little too much on some of it, but I get the gist of what he's trying to do. You know, he's talking about being a plumber. I don't want to see that kind of plumbing. Listen.
He talking about being a plumber, but you ain't want to see nobody laying pipes.
Listen, man, leave them pipes clogged up, man. I ain't trying to see none of that, man. Please, I don't want to see it. Don't run no snakes through them lines, man. Come on, man. That's everybody. Yeah. Come on now, man. You had a good idea, man.
Oh, no, man. Yeah, no. No, what I like most about the show, yep, definitely thought-provoking, a different take. I guess the juxtaposition is we wouldn't have the Killer Mike show Monique had we boycotted Fact. Netflix. Fact. So, but trigger warning to me, what I liked about the show was his unapologetic blackness.
Yes.
The fact that he was who he was, no matter who he was in front of, no matter where he was, like, he was accommodating, you know, to like when he went to the old folks home and stuff like that.
He was respectful.
Hold on, hold on, I gotta correct. To the senior citizens home.
Yeah.
Right, can't call people old folks. But anyway, you know, when he went to the senior citizens home, he was very respectful, even with the woman who was
clearly racist.
Listen to me.
I mean, she was.
I don't know if I could have did it, bro. I don't know if I could have done it. Like, I think I would have rolled her old ass out in front of the traffic. Like,
she would do. I mean, I'm like, you just gonna be that and be racist and wrong.
Dead ass wrong. Though.
I'm like, you dead. Like, you just did, you, and you know you wrong.
She was like, yeah, I understand that.
But y'all still.
I was like, that's tough, man. That's tough. Yeah, that's the old. That was that old racism.
That old racism.
Yeah, but I you know what I like most about that episode? He was even shocked that those people really appreciated his music.
Yeah,
like he just knew that they weren't gonna be up on what he was up, and I think that's what goes to show us. I mean, there's one book that I love, right? And I quoted this on the podcast many different times, the Four Agreements. Never make assumptions.
Yeah.
Never feel like you always know the answer. And I think this is where we have to come to an agreement with ourselves and society. You said earlier at the top of the podcast that the posts that you post are the ones that you feel like, ooh, it's going to be risque. You say that's the one you post.
Yeah.
So it's not about how you feel, it's about more so the message.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we can't get the messages that we need to get out because we're hesitant on how we're gonna feel about the response or the backlash or lack thereof in his particular case, you know, when he got up and did the show for the senior citizens.
Yeah, Malik mentioned the church is sleepy.
Oh, listen.
That was very genius to me, though. Like, how they created a religion.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I took from the Church of Sleepy that's serious.
Go ahead.
When the older black lady broke down and said she's tired of being strong. So, like, she said, I don't have to be a strong black woman.
Yeah.
I don't want strong in front of that. Like, I think sometimes, and I know this has happened to me before, is like, when can I take off my sword and when can I lay down my sword and my shield? When can I take off my armor? When can I relax? Because we've been fighting for so long, for so much, to only gain so little. When do we have time to rest and chill and relax and laugh?
And the cold part is, Chris, it's like, I feel like, statistically speaking, there's a regression.
Yeah.
So even if we want to take our armor off and our shield and our sword off, now we can't because it's getting worse.
Facts.
So, like, we don't even have the luxury anymore of kicking our feet. We can't kick our feet up at all. Like, it's literally an everyday ongoing thing of being a strong black man is a requirement now. Like, you know, before it was like, he's strong, he's not. But now it's like, we need strong men, like, more than ever.
Do you know how many times I hear that day in, day out? Like, and I'm thinking, I didn't sign up for it. I was just born. I tell them all the time, shit, I want a jug too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't sign up to be Martin the Megger or Malcolm. I didn't. But, you know, to him that much is given, I guess.
Much is required.
Yeah, no, I like the Church of Sleepy. Listen. That dude got that hell of fire, man, because he always looks sleek. Like,
he always looks sleek.
Yeah.
He's smoking that good.
Well, I've been leading the podcast for this long, man. You talk about some stuff you want to talk about.
I wanted to address there were two articles that I read, one was by Vibe magazine and one was by BET. Mm-hmm. And it talked about, it basically condemned straight black men for not sticking up more for Jussie Smollett. I know we discussed Jussie Smollett, but this is actually not about Jussie Smollett. This is about what's expected. I guess it's a great segue, being a strong black man, but what's expected of the straight black man. And when I read the articles, I got offended. Mm-hmm. And I got offended because I would like to ask any editor of any magazine, any newspaper editor, any producer, director, any politician, any pastor, preacher, any activist, anybody, name me one group designated to making sure the straight black man is okay. Name me one.
Blanchard and Chris.
Okay.
Two kings in the pod.
Two kings in a pod. There is no campaign to make sure the straight black man is safe in America. There is no campaign to make sure the straight black man is able to even get a job in America.
Facts.
There is no campaign making sure the straight black man gets a fair shake in life. There is no campaign for it. There's no group. There's no entities. There is nobody championing that cause. So I said to myself, how dare y'all ask us to jump in front of not just him, but jump in front of bullets that we already took. Because it was straight black men that lost their lives making sure that all disenfranchised groups in America are able to be here today. It was the civil rights movement. It was what the Panthers did. It was what Malcolm X, Nation of Islam. It's what all these people did that opened the door for groups like gay people, immigrants, minorities, women. All these groups benefited off of the blood of a straight black man. So now, after all that's done, you come back around and say, we got to do more? I was highly offended. I was highly offended by them articles. And I said, how dare y'all? And on top of it all off, he lying.
I was about to ask you, do you think they're going to print a retraction?
Heck no. No.
Same Vibe magazine that rushed to judgment and talk about.
They will not do it.
Not in my bad.
Not in my bad. Not I made a mistake. Not about y'all. Y'all was smarter not getting involved. None of that.
Not a psych.
They making it about us separating homosexuality from race.
Yeah.
And I say in mainstream gay society, you can't be pro-black and gay. Now, you can be gay in mainstream society. You can be gay, but you ain't finna be gay and pro-black in mainstream gay society, because mainstream gay society is pretty much white.
Facts.
So this notion that, and I told somebody, and they got mad at me, I said, there's gonna come a point in time where you're gonna have to pick between you being black and you being gay. You're not gonna be able to put that blackness in front of that gayness. I'm telling you, because the gay people have made it to where they're gonna have a certain privilege in society more than they have now. So what they did was, we were fighting for equality. We was fighting for acceptance. We was fighting for good treatment. They was fighting for leverage. Mm-hmm. They wanted political leverage. They wanted social leverage, and they wanted the best leverage of all. They wanted economic leverage. That's how they've gotten the results they've gotten. They said, you ain't got to like me, but you got to deal with it. It's a difference. It's a difference. So, but back to what I got offended by was, you're asking us, the straight black man, who is the most marginalized group in America, is the straight black man. Because we get it on all sides. We don't get a break from none of this. We get the racism. We get hit from our own people. We get thrown. We in prison. Listen, we can't get a job. We get hit from all sides in this country. And nobody ever brings it up. And to top it all off, Chris, we the biggest villains.
Super facts.
I remember when Trump didn't get elected, they said, oh, the reason why Trump didn't get elected was because black folks didn't vote. Black people didn't vote. I said, how is black people not voting the cause of Trump getting elected? Like folks didn't vote for him.
But yeah, a third of the country didn't vote at all.
But we got hit with the didn't vote. So that same mindset is how they do black, straight black men. And we get hit with the responsibility, but none of the accolades, none of the protection.
So we're still second class citizens in 2019.
Everything James Baldwin said, and I'm not your Negro, how does that ring true today, 60 years later? How? How is what Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and James, Sam Cooke, Mega Evers, Marcus Garvey, how is everything these guys said still resonating almost 80 years ago, 90 years? How can it be the same? So so when I read the articles, I said, these people got some nerve. There is nobody out there, and I'm sorry if I'm ranting.
Who wrote the article? Let me ask you that, because I would like to know who wrote the article.
The people?
No, because it's usually attributed to an author. So
it's people. It's people in there, and I wish.
No, I don't want people. It don't say who.
No, it's a person. No, it's a person.
Yeah, we need to look them up. We can cover that on the next podcast.
Yeah, we're gonna come after y'all.
We need to look at that. Yeah, facts. Well, you said two articles. What was the other article?
The same thing. It's just one was by BET and one was by Vibe Magazine. The same. They both said the same thing. They both basically said the same thing. And I'm just saying, the straight black man, since this is the term they used, straight black man. I'm going to say, piggybacking off of what they said, the straight black man has it the hardest because he's expected to rise above it all. You have a woman going through something, they'll always throw the caveat, she's a woman. Even though they'll say it's equality, men and women are equal, they'll still say she's a woman and a man should do. That is a standard phrase and accepted phrase in society. A man should do. A man should be. You go into a room full of women and you say, women need to, they finna get you off the stage.
Get you off the stage? Bro, you could.
You finna get a Jussie Smollett. They finna Smollett.
Listen to me. For real. You'd be lucky if you make it out of there with your shirt, as they used to say.
But if you go up there and you say on that same stage, black men need to, everybody cheering and hooting and hollering. So clearly, there is a difference. And all I'm saying is the straight black man should not be asked to do anything. The straight black man needs the same protection the other groups have. We need to be hugged. We need love. We need to be safe. You think black men walk around here feeling safe? We got the police. We got to deal with our own community. We got to deal with Uncle Sam. We got to deal with our job. Just imagine corporate America.
That's a whole nother podcast. You know, I don't even want to get on that. You know, like my boy Muhammad Ali said, you know, last hire, first fire. To your point about 60, 70 years ago, him saying that, how is that still ring true? How have we still been able to survive, let alone thrive, with this amount of pressure? You know, it's a tough one. What else you want to talk about?
Hold on, Malik said something. Malik said they want you to fight for their problems, but won't join anybody else's fight. And that is true. It's true. The LGBT community will ask straight black men to do whatever, or people in society to do whatever. But I'm asking, when these black men are getting killed by the police, where are the rainbow flags?
I was about to ask, do you think, because I know the answer to this question, so let's juxtaposition this. If it was a white person this happened to, would they ask straight white men to jump to this person's defense? If it was an Asian person, would they ask Asian straight men to jump to this person's defense?
They don't, but I'm going to tell you who they leave alone. They leave white men alone.
Well,
They don't
there's
box.
There's a reason why.
Yeah, because they ain't going to play
Cause,
with.
Because they don't want to smoke.
Yeah, they ain't going to play with. They drop the bomb
literally,
on you.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, they'll drop that bomb on you quick. But my point that you're making, well, my point is, or the point you're making is that they treat us the lowest, but expect the most. They expect us to be the most righteous. Think about it. Think about what people expect black men to be. Even with all the negative stereotypes, even with all these things, if you show up to a job, they expect you to be articulate, professional, intelligent, qualified. Think about that. It's much
and humble.
And humble.
And humble.
And
throw
humble.
That in there. You got to have all of that. Like, I got to give you all these superhuman qualities.
And be humble.
Be proud about it.
Be humble. Know your place.
Hold your head down. Roll them shoulders. Yeah, nah, and it is tough. It is tough. I think that, you know, I used the term white girl free before. And yeah. Somebody laughed at me, right? I said I want to be white girl free. And what I mean by that is I just want to be able to to make some mistakes and not suffer the consequences. I want to be able to make some decisions and not have, you know, a whole treasure trove of fear coming behind me to deal with the consequences of those choices.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not universally, you know, correct to think that way, but, you know, like I said earlier, I want a jug too.
Yeah. You know, and we see it. You got, remember Girls Gone Wild?
Do I? That was porn in college.
Yeah. Listen, all them girls gone wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear about any foul play in them Girls Gone Wild?
No, not. I mean, it was a different time. Clearly, you know, that wouldn't suffice today. But.
So the white Girls Gone Wild today would have been a Me Too buffet.
Bonanza.
Bonanza. I like it even better. Bonanza. You look around, people spinning in the air, cartwheels, monkeys riding bicycles.
They're really going wild.
Listen, fireworks.
White girl, ooh, Girls Gone Wild. Girls went wild.
Yeah, went wild.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Nobody came out of there. Nobody was coming out. It wasn't no campaign saying these women were being, it was toxic masculinity, toxic male masculinity against these women. This is setting women back. This is, nah, you know why? It was entertainment and it was making money. Nobody had a problem with it. Them white girls able to drink, so they breast, twerk, do whatever they want to do, and nobody, everybody cheered. Number one selling DVDs of that. Great, listen, white girl free.
No. I didn't even think about Girls Gone Wild, but that's...
But listen, yeah, no negative backlash. And it's actually like a staple. It's like a cult classic staple in our history.
Yeah, absolutely.
With no negative connotation. You know why? It's the white girls being white girls. And nobody had a problem with it. Nobody.
And talk about that white girls being white girls. Black men can't even be black men. Talk about the looks we get at the gym.
We just had a girl tell us we talking too loud. And she got her headphones on with her music on. Well, she told one person, but still.
I was about to say, yeah. Then,
she,
yeah.
She told one person, but the audacity.
Facts. Grown men.
You telling grown men that he's talking too loud, so you can listen to your music. You're telling me to tone my voice down so you can listen to your music. That's tough.
It is disrespectful.
It is.
And it's such a high form of disrespect. And it's something that every black person can attest to having to have to deal with that. And again, I know what it comes from. It comes from making people feel comfortable.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I think sometimes people get it twisted that when you're speaking the way that you're speaking and I'm speaking the way that I'm speaking, that we don't like white people. I love everybody. I don't take no foolishness, though. It's like you're going to treat me with the same amount of respect that I'm giving you in this, as one of my favorite words, in this periphery.
In this periphery. That mean right, all around here.
It all up in here where I'm at in my periphery. Because I know I don't come with no drama. I know I don't come with no smoke. Now, I'm ready to smoke. You know, I got the peace pipe.
Yeah.
I got my papers.
Sometimes you got to chimney, though. Sometimes you want some more smoke, you got a chimney.
Yeah, yeah. Saying I got them hot coals. Shout out to cold country.
You know what I'm saying? not MAGA country, cold country.
Cold country. My boy J. Cole say it's a cold world. What you want to talk about next, man?
I had just on the tip of my tongue, man. I just had it. Oh my goodness.
Actually, I can go to Google Docs to catch up with the notes. Because we've been freestyling for a while now.
We have been. It was one more topic that I wanted to discuss, man, and I'm trying to think. Because I just had the topic on the tip of my tongue, man.
Did you write them down in the notes? No.
No, I wrote them down in my notes, though.
Well, we got people on. I'm gonna say, does anyone have anything they want to talk about? All right, well, if we don't have anything, we can jump off.
All right.
We can't leave it like that, man.
I know. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We can't leave it. We here.
Yeah, but she ain't talking.
Look at Mika. We here.
Nah, I pretty much covered everything I wanted to talk about.
We did?
I mean, I covered the stuff that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it. We talked about everything, really.
We did. We really did. I mean, listen, we got the platform set up. Obviously, we got the audience tuning in.
Yeah.
People say this is the best thing on Facebook. We got to figure out when we're going to come back.
Yeah.
When you want to do this? When do you want to do this again so we can give them a cliffhanger?
I want to do one at least, I want to say once a week, man.
We should do it.
I think we should do it once a week. I think this is what the people need. You know, this is what the people need.
Facts.
You know, I think, yeah. It's what people need, man. But I guess in the summation, though, we pretty much, you know what somebody suggested what we do today? This is another thing. Somebody suggested that we have white guests on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
When we talk about, you know, I guess racism and stuff.
But I'm all for that. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I'm all for it too, though. And I want to say one thing. Our show is not to be against anybody. Our show is actually for the people, you know.
Yeah.
So we talk about everybody, but we also love everybody too. And it's not nothing personal. You know, we look at everybody the same. So you're not going to get credit because you're gay, and you won't get discredited because you're not gay. You know what I'm saying? It's just, we look at everybody the same.
Black. Well, I would jump in on that. I would say you're not going to get credit for what you are. You're going to get credit for who you are.
Because
everything that we do is based off of character, not characteristics. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't think we give anybody credit for being gay, straight, tall, short, skinny, fat, black, white. Like, it sounds concocted, but I know I've been, you know, friends with you for over a decade. I know that's how you're personality is,
yeah.
And with the litany of people that I have access to and in my life, you know, on both sides, right, black, white, you know, whatever,
yeah.
They're going to tell you that I'm a person of good character because I am, right,
yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, to be cool, is because I know I treat people the way I want to be treated. That's just how I was raised, and it's how I am. It's how I want to maneuver through life. So. Yeah, I don't want anybody to feel like they can't approach us and talk to us about anything. And we want to talk about the things that we're dealing with from our perspective.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here to make anybody feel comfortable about my perspective.
Yeah.
Like that's a love it or leave it type of situation. You know, I've had people tell me, oh man, you know, you talk about this all the time. You go hard on it. I'm like, but it's me.
It's me.
I'm talking to you. I ain't talking about you. And I think a lot of people get in their feelings because, again, they're paying attention to how things make them feel, not necessarily about what the topic is.
I had one quick question before we go.
Sure.
When it comes, and this is off topic a little bit, but when it comes to dating, and I was having a discussion.
Brother, that's a whole nother topic. You should have talked about that earlier.
But it's just do you think in the dating world, the nice guy?
Oh, I know where you're going with this. Yes.
The guy that she should take home to her parents. Like the guy that's the nice guy that really actually cares about her, actually likes her, actually wants to be with her, actually makes it about her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that guy finish last? I've been struggling with that because I'm like,
okay, do you want the C-wheel answer or do you want the political answer?
I kind of want both, but I want the political first. Then I want to see where it's going to make it more. Okay. It'll make it more funny.
Okay. The political answer
is funnier.
The political answer is the nice guy doesn't finish last.
Okay.
Right. The nice guy doesn't finish last because think about what the role of the nice guy is. The role of the nice guys is to literally put everyone before himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's his role. Like, nice guys expect that. We come into that role with expectation to make sure everybody's seen about, make sure everybody's taken care of, make sure everybody's straight before we taken care of on the back end. So in that sense, and like I said, political answer, I don't think he finishes last. Now, the C-wheel answer is the nice guy. Because I want to be more definitive around the term nice guy.
Yeah.
Are we talking about a nice guy or a good guy?
Okay, and that's where I think my struggle was until I started saying that, okay, there's a difference.
It's a huge difference.
It's a difference between the nice guy and the good guy.
Yes.
So I say, does the good guy end? The good guy might win in the end, but he may not necessarily... You know what I mean? Like, the good guy in the end is like, he might win. It's like the movies, you know, the good guy wins in the end, kind of thing. I don't know. I was just thinking because I've seen a lot of stuff and I'm seeing what these women are responding to. I'm like, it's tough. It's tough out here. I just saw a video post and the girl met a guy. He was so respectful to her. He shook her hand. How you doing? My name is so-and-so. You look nice, all this. And she was like, I'm not interested. Then she got to the dude, he had the chains on and this, and then he like, what's up, talking about, and she's like, ooh, what's, and I just, it was a difference in the interaction.
Here's why I said the C-wheel answer, because I would consider myself a good guy, I would not consider myself a nice guy.
Yeah.
And the difference between that is, I'm not trying to date Thotimus Prime.
Facts.
So, If the woman that the nice guy, I'm gonna say in this particular movie, chose the same girl who wanted to be with the guy with all the gold chains, and I'm assuming that the guy with all the gold chains is supposed to be the bad guy.
Yeah, you know how they set it up.
I get it. It's a very simplistic way to show how people move and maneuver in life.
Yeah.
But I would say that it's not real, because I know me for being, like I said, a good guy. I don't talk to women that every guy can talk to.
Facts.
I know I don't.
Yeah.
So if the bad guy per se in this particular situation or scenario got access to the same woman that I have, he got it.
Yeah.
Like he ain't gonna get no argument from me, and she ain't gonna get no pushback. You know, y'all like it, I love it. yeah. type of thing. But no, I don't believe nice guys finish last. I mean, excuse me, I don't believe good guys finish last. Because I'm going through my head when you ask that question, and I know the guys that I consider good guys.
Yeah, they win.
They win it.
Yeah.
Now, I know some nice guys that took some L's.
Yeah.
And what I mean nice is everybody liked them. You know, they was funny. They always paid. But I know some quality men that are good men and they have great women in their life.
Yeah. And you know, and I would say that the nice guy to me, in my opinion, is the guy that's a people pleaser. And that the nice guy wants everybody comfortable around him. So, and what you said earlier, we had a discussion last night in the gym, and I brought this up because of the discussion we had, but basically it was a discussion that you had to be a certain way to get, I guess, quote unquote, women. And I said, if you really want a good woman, now you can get a woman with anything. Like, you can get a woman with a car. You can get a woman if you got some money. You can get a woman with all kind of attributes. Like, it's not, you can be dark skinned and get a woman. You can be light skinned and get a woman. You can be bow legged and get a woman. All this.
Facts.
You have a, so you know what I'm saying? So you can get a woman, but I was saying that if you want a good woman though, it's gonna take more than attributes. It's gonna take character. So we see you, Malik. So my point was, a good man don't want the litter.
No.
He wants the pick of the litter. So he's not even concerned with the women that. And I told him, I said, a lot of times what we do is we see fine women and we try to, and what we try to do is we try to say, okay, we giving them credit for good, for looking good. And so we rushing in there, dudes rushing in there with their wallet out, thinking they got to do this, and it come to find out she a thot.
Man, when that dude told me that he paid $400 for a first date, you can't be a good guy and pay $400 for a
you
first date.
You can't be. You can be a jug. You can be a jug and do it. You can be a
That's what a jug does.
You can be a trick and do it. But
that's
so
what a trick does.
So last, I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because last night these guys are talking about paying, and I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, "Is it the nice guy finishing last, or y'all tricking? Y'all confusing the man?" I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Hold on." I said, "So he told me." I don't know all about women, and I ain't a good judge of women based on what I see with women. And I said...
Wait, hold on. Somebody said this to you?
Somebody said this. And I said, based on my methods, I'm undefeated. Meaning, I ain't never got by no chick. I ain't got no horror story with no women. I done met all good women. So I said, so whatever method I'm using is a good method. I said, you the one telling me that these thoughts and bops. And when I said, that ain't me. I said, I don't have them experiences. Yeah. I meet quality women. So
facts.
I can't sympathize with you on that. But I'm with you, and I agree, and Malik, I'm with you too, that the good guy wins all the time.
Facts.
It's no.
And that's why I wanted to separate it, because they say nice guys finish last. And I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Because to your point, like, nice doesn't necessarily mean good, because just because someone's nice doesn't mean that they have good intentions. But the good guy, to me, I'm literally going through the Rolodex in my head, and you know your good guy list is like that favorite list on your phone. You know, you could have 500 contacts in your phone, but your favorites is about 10, 15.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, okay, I take you for instance. I know most of your story. I only know good women that have been in your life.
Yeah.
You know, you can say the same for me.
Yeah.
You know, these are women that I could and have taken home to meet my grandmother and my mother.
Yeah.
So to your point, no horror stories. I think what people have to understand when they ask about the nice guys finishing last, because I heard this about women too, right? Because women
Women say y'all want the thoughts, y'all want the
these thoughts out here winning,
hoes winning.
It's like, but what they winning? Like, they not getting married.
They not.
They not happy.
They not happy. They getting ran through.
Boy, listen to me. So, nice guys may finish last, but good guys don't.
And a good woman don't finish last either. She gonna win too.
Hell no.
Good woman worth her weight in gold. She gonna win.
And listen to me, any good woman that I know out here winning, and winning doesn't necessarily mean married. Like I think again, folks get that twisted.
True.
Like oh, if she ain't this and this and this, that. I'm always asking people. You know I like hanging around you, bro.
Why?
Because you always happy. Don't mean you always in the best position. Don't mean you always where you want to be, but you always happy. That's how I know you winning.
Yeah.
And I done seen you go through some very dark periods. And even then, and I know sometimes you ain't want to share that stuff with me because I'm going through things now. And I don't always want to share that stuff.
Yeah.
But when you're going through things, it's certain people that's going to be around you that's really going to pay attention to when you're going through something.
Yeah.
And I knew you was a good dude because I said, man, this dude is really going through this, this, and this, and this, and he ain't trying to put that on nobody.
Yeah.
You know, Whitney told me that on the podcast last night. She was like, you got plenty of good people around you. I had to really like kind of step back and think about that for a second. It's like, man, like I got great people surrounding me.
It's a blessing, man.
So you can't be a bum-ass person and then have a bunch of good people around you.
You can't.
Not have access to
you. Like, you can't be a bum dude and get a good chick.
You can't do it. You can get a chick.
You can get a chick, but you can't get no good chick.
You ain't gonna get a good chick.
So my whole point with them was his character. I said, you all think y'all got women down to a science. And I said, every woman ain't going for them tricks and acne schemes. She's not. Like, every woman is not out here trying to sell her soul. There's good women out here that say no. And I asked the guy, he said, I can get her. I said, but what you gonna do when she tell you no?
Boy, listen to me.
I said, you
bitch. Oh.
I said, you hell bent on getting her, but I said, but you ain't factored in the fact that what if she say no to you? I said, what you gonna do then? I'ma keep trying. I said, nah, you don't keep trying. You gonna get flavored.
You're going to get flagrant.
And
I done seen it. And it ain't good. It ain't a good look.
It's not a good look. Y'all cussing these women out because they don't want to talk to you. Clearly, she made a good choice by your reaction.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got 4 minutes left on the podcast. I mean, if you want to keep the IG live on for a little second after that, we can do that. Any closing remarks for the podcast?
Yeah, I'm glad y'all tuned in, man. And I love y'all, anybody listening and watching. And just, you know, if you wake up in the morning, just have positive thoughts and think positive things. And if you ever, you know, feel like, you know, it's not going too good for you and you're feeling bad about yourself, just look up Jussie Smollett and Steve Harvey and you'll immediately feel better about yourself. I want to leave that with y'all today. I love y'all, though.
I love y'all for real. You're a fool, man. You totally messed up my 405, bro. I was gonna leave with something positive, but I can't follow that. Listen, man, as my dad would always say, as long as you got both feet on this side of the grave, You doing good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Two left shoes. All right.
Two left shoes.
My God. Hey, man, tell them that story real quick, man.
I can't do it now, man. Because we only got 3 minutes left. It's going to be longer than that. We're going to pick that up on the next podcast. We're going to figure out what we're doing this again so everybody can tune in.
Yeah, man. We love you. We love y'all, man. And I want this whole 2 minutes to get ate up real quick because we got 2 minutes, man. People chiming in.
Now they chiming in. Yeah. Well, we can shut it down and call back.
You know what I'm saying? We love y'all, man. Y'all just don't know, man.
All right, man. So listen.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
If you ever talk about you done built an empire, do not have no sandwich bag full of cookies. And that's for Dame Dash. Don't pull out no sandwich bag full of cookies like you say you bossing up. Don't do it. A bag of diamonds, I get it. A bag of cookies, no. Nah.
Listen to me. Damn sure don't do that during Girl Scout season. You're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
Because they moving like, them things like crack, boy.
Listen to me, bro.
I already bought 3 boxes.
I wonder how we got boxes of Girl Scout cookies in the office. Ain't nobody got no kids.
Ain't nobody got that crazy.
Everybody in the office. I was like, how we got Girl Scout cookies in here? Ain't nobody got no kids.
I got 3 boxes right now.
Bro, it's a random box of truffles in there. Dog, I'm nervous, bro. I'm nervous. I think it's a mouse trap, bro. It's a mouse trap. It's a setup.
Man, I am drilling them cookies, man. I'm telling you.
Listen, so you want to do an additional 30 minutes since folks is chiming in and we riding out, or do you want to do keep doing a Facebook live?
Man, we can keep riding out, man. We can do an additional 30, man. I'm down for it.
All right, bro. Let me close this segment out because this thing is starting to flash.
All right.
I'm gonna close this segment out and we're gonna chime back in.
All right.